Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, queer youth. Why is it still difficult for young people to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, otherwise queer or questioning in this day of age, in this day and age here in the Bay Area? My guests are from the Pacific Center for Human Growth in Berkeley, a counseling and community center that's been serving the East Bay LGBT community for nearly four decades. Yep, that's right, since 1978. In fact, I took advantage of its services about 25 years ago when I was figuring myself out. The Pacific Center's youth group has been running for more than 20 years, providing a social space for young people to meet each other, participate in discussions and other group activities, and receive counseling if they need it. The youth program's two key funders cut their support recently, though, both at about the same time, catching the Pacific Center by surprise. And I was surprised to read in a fundraising letter that queer youth today, here in the Bay Area, feel unsafe at school on a daily basis. Some bullied or outed after being seen going to an LGBTQ club meeting at school, for example. Yes, here in the liberal Bay Area today in 2015. I know I shouldn't be surprised, but I was. It got me wondering, what's it like to be a gay, trans, or questioning adolescent trying to figure yourself out today? Has growing mainstream acceptance helped? Legalization of same-sex marriage across the land? Why or why not? How much? Why is it still tough to be queer, even here in the Bay Area? Here to fill us in on this and more are Jared Fields, the Pacific Center's Youth Programs Manager. Welcome, Jared.
Hi, Eric.
And three members of the Youth Speakers Bureau. Jared has brought in, two members of the Youth Speakers Bureau that Jared has brought in with them to Out on the Bay Studios. Jared, so if you would please introduce them to us.
Sure. We've got Davi and Jesse here with us. And the two of them were both members of the Loud Youth Group, and now they've aged out of the group. They're no longer in high school, but they still help me out by coming and representing the youth group with a young voice at middle schools and high schools and radio stations like this, where we want to talk about the Pacific Center and what we provide.
Great. So what is, first of all, you mentioned the name Loud. What's the Loud Youth Group? What does that mean?
So the Loud Youth Group is our youth group. It's for young people 12 to 18, so middle school and high school students. LOUD stands for Loving Ourselves and Uniting Diversity. And our youth group has been functioning for about 21 years. So there have been lots of faces that have come through the door and have spent one or many years as part of our youth group.
Okay, so Davi and Jesse, you're both recent graduates from the Pacific Center's youth group, Loud, still connected by being speakers. What is, in your perception, the reality for queer youth in the Bay Area, or the East Bay, if that's your expertise, if that's your experience?
So
Jesse, go ahead. You get to start.
Again.
What's the current reality? What's it like to be, gay or queer or whatever in high school or junior high school these days? Where did you go to high school, first of all?
Well, I went to a really small high school. I went to Met West High School, which Met West. Very small public high school in Oakland. Full school would be, 160 total, so very small. So growing up for me, at least going to that school, being the only gay male in the school was definitely, hard for me, but I guess it got easier knowing that, when I started the Pacific Center, going to the group about 5 years ago, that really made me feel more comfortable about being myself and being who I was. And so I guess, I don't know, in this day and age, just being gay or being out really is just, I don't know, I think it's still hard in some cases. People still have a hard time, finding themselves and finding, truly who they are. But are able to, when they're able to find other people who are like themselves, like I did when I started coming to the Pacific Center.
So what made you think that you were the only gay guy in that school?
Well, I was the only gay out guy at school. I couldn't say I was the only gay guy at school. But, in terms of being out and being, visually, there's the gay kid, it was me. There was me, myself, and I. But I had, I had a few trans friends. I had a few lesbian friends, but it was, very small group, maybe a group of, six.
Okay. And the student body, again, is about how many?
160.
And that's pretty small.
So, yeah. Okay. It's small school, small group, but
and
we made
how
it work.
And how did you find out about the Pacific Center?
I found out about the Pacific Center through my ex-boyfriend, years ago, and he was come check out this group, and, because I had, just come out, recently come out to my parents, didn't really know that many, like, LGBT people that myself, besides, like, I had, like, my best, I had a best gay friend in middle school. It was, like, my first, like, realization to me of, oh, I might be gay, but, like, I'm not sure, but, like, we've just been best friends ever since, and I don't know, like, the Pacific Center really just helped me be who I am, and I don't really know how to say it more than that, but, like, it just opened me and, like, helped me be more, like, out and really gain a lot more friends.
Okay. So, Daffy, what about you? How did you, you know, what was your experience in junior high or high school?
Well, in junior high, middle school, I went to a small high middle school called Knox, which is an elementary / middle North Oakland community charter school. And at that point, I didn't really know who I was. I'm transgender, and I knew I was different, but I didn't really know. After I graduated eighth grade, I thought I may be gay, or a lesbian, but that just wasn't really the right feel. I didn't like anything feminine. And then in high school, I went to small high school, part of Piedmont High, called Millennium High School. And Millennium was a really diverse arena because there's many people from all parts of the Bay Area. But Piedmont itself is a really conservative small town within Oakland. And I had some traumatic experiences in the city of Piedmont because there weren't many LGBT people that I knew of. I knew a few bi people and a few lesbian people, no gay, no transgender folk. And I was bullied, and I was slurred a lot. I would be called a tranny, or that was mainly the main slur I was called, and I would go home and I was just really sad and didn't know what to do. So then after I came out to my mom, who was very supportive, she told me about the Pacific Center, and I was going to the Loud Youth Group, and I found myself more and got more friends, gained more confidence, and just decided that I would be an activist out in the community to help other people, other youth, to not have the same experience I had, but to have a positive experience. And through that, I've started doing many things, like working as in the bureau at Pacific Center, and I'm on a youth council with Gender Spectrum, and just trying to help out my community.
Mm-hmm. What was it about your experience in high school that you said that other students would call you tranny? How did that start? You know,
I think kids growing up in Piedmont, they grew up with each other. They start in elementary school and kindergarten, and it's because it's such a small city, they just continue all the way to 12th grade. But they're in like a bubble because it's like an island within Oakland, and they're just this really rich bubble that parents are afraid of letting their kids out because they think that they're gonna
be exposed to
Oakland. To something that isn't perfect. And so no one really knew about that, or there weren't many out kids, even though they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people were uncomfortable with me and didn't know who I was. I would go to the dances. I would be wearing a suit or a bow tie, and they would tell me, well, why aren't you wearing a dress? And I would be, well, I don't identify as female. And they didn't really know what that meant. So I would tell them that I am transgender, and they didn't ever hear that before.
Wow. And so on top of that, you were also, I mean, you were new to that school district because they'd all grown up with each other as kids. Okay.
Yeah, because also part of that, I'm Swiss, so I've grown up also being around that culture. Mm-hmm. And it's also like kind of like Piedmont, but there is a more open aspect to it as well. So it's just I've come from a very diverse background, and going into that city was very new, and I figured out how excluded they were from everywhere else in the city.
Okay, thank you. And you said your mom told you about the Pacific Center, so she knew about it somehow.
Yes, my mom. I grew up with many of my mom's gay and lesbian friends. My godfather is gay. My aunt is gay. And that they have been very supportive, and they have all gone there or work there. Yeah.
Okay, very good, very good. Thank you. So, Jared, you're fairly, I think you told me you're fairly new to this position at Pacific Center.
I am.
How long have you been there?
About 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your experience, you know, how reflective are Davi's and Jesse's experiences of what you have run across so far leading this group? Or what do you do, first of all? Do you lead some of these discussion groups?
Yeah.
What do you do exactly, Jared?
So I'm the youth programs manager. So my role is basically twofold. I facilitate the youth program, which means that I come up with programming and I, like, plan events. For example, last week we had, like, an ice cream social. Coming up next week, we're doing, like, a volunteer day at the Berkeley Food Pantry. So I plan all those kind of events. And then in conjunction with another clinician at the Pacific Center by the name of Ashley Slaff, who is a wonderful person, every Friday we are there for the youth group. And so I'm there kind of to be a support, and that's when she kind of steps forward and takes the role of clinician and therapist, and that's when we kind of provide, like, the peer support that the Pacific Center is known for.
And were you doing similar type of work before you came here to the Pacific Center?
I've been working with young people for about the past 4 years, and so I've been working mostly with K through 5, and so I kind of decided that I wanted to work with older youth, and I also kind of wanted to work within the queer community. Being a gay man, I felt like it would be really empowering to be a part of that community, especially in the Bay, where it's a thriving community. So I got directed to the Pacific Center through a friend of mine who took part in some of their peer support services, and that's how I found the Pacific Center.
Great, thank you. So I'm curious to know, first of all, I'm going to re-ID the show. You're listening to Out in the Bay on KALW. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Jared Field, Youth Programs Manager of the Pacific Center for Human Growth in Berkeley, and two members of the Pacific Center's Youth Programs Speakers Bureau, Jesse Thompson and Davi Muehlenhaus. And curious to know, you know, what do you think about, and Jared, yeah, I think you told me before we started recording that you grew up in Georgia?
I did.
Okay. So what's your experience of how different the Bay Area is, or in what ways is it the same? And what do you think about how this is for all three of you. How do you think mainstream acceptance has helped or has it hurt? Is mainstream acceptance, you know, pretty much just gay men and lesbians? To what extent does it, you know, bring trans people into that?
That's a good
question.
There you
go. There's a bunch. Run with it.
Well, my experience growing up, I grew up in a suburb of Atlanta. And so the experience of growing up in the South is vastly different from the Bay Area. The Bay Area is wonderful and open and accepting and progressive, and that's amazing. But when you're working with a group of people, you can only be so progressive. So while I think that we're wonderfully and wildly accepting of lesbians and gay men in the Bay Area, there's a lot of things that we don't address. We're seeing a lot of, especially in middle school, young people who are struggling with their gender identity, and they're feeling like they might be trans, they might be agender, they might be gender fluid. And so there's not a lot of information available out there for schools, for counselors, and other resources. And so a lot of the young people we see at the Pacific Center are people that may be part of a gay straight alliance or a queer straight alliance at their school, but they don't necessarily feel supported because they don't feel like anyone in that space understands exactly what they're going through. Because queer is such a wide umbrella. And so I think that's what we're learning now, is that there's so much more to being queer than to just liking someone of the same sex. It's such a wide scope of things. And so I think the Bay Area is the front runner of wanting to learn about those things and wanting to embrace those things with open arms. But there's still a lot more we could be doing.
Yeah, and you just said there's, like, well, for example, there's a huge acceptance of gay men and lesbians. And yet, Jesse, you were saying you were in high school just a few years ago here, and
yeah,
you're the only gay kid in your school, and you got, you know, trouble or, you know,
yeah,
hassled for it. Yeah.
Oh, is that, like, directed at me?
Well, yeah, but, yeah.
Oh,
if you have anything more to say about it.
I guess I'll go now that it's my turn. Mainstream acceptance. What I've seen is, I think, over the years, especially now that there's more icons that have come out, like Laverne Cox, Caitlyn Jenner, I think that there's now that there's more, like, out there, that it's becoming more accepting, but I still think that it's the most acceptance is still between, like, you know, a gay male or, like, you know, maybe, like, a lesbian, where I feel like there could be a lot more acceptance within the trans community that isn't there, or not within the trans community, but for the trans community that's not there by, like, allies and just the public, really.
Okay. And Davi, you were definitely nodding there when Jared was talking about, you know, trans folks not being accepted compared to gay men and lesbians. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, from not enough stuff being out there is completely true, because when I was questioning and trying to figure out my identity, I first thought I'm probably a lesbian because that's all that I really knew, and that's all I really grew up with. My mom had very accepting friends who were gay and lesbian, but, like, that's all I knew. So that's all I knew to come out as, because I didn't feel straight or the norm, as they want to say. But as I've come out and been trying to question my identity, Pacific Center helped me a lot with discovering that I'm not a lesbian, but that I am trans. And once I have found myself, then I have found all the other things to help me, like gender spectrum and Pacific Center even more. They have more groups that I can attend. But there's not enough to out there to help while you're trying to question. So it makes it even more depressing and more suppressing and more hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks. Before I forget, let's make sure we talk about the funding challenge that you're having right now. So, Jared, do you want to talk about some of the nitty-gritty details of that?
Yeah. So we did lose some of the funding for our youth program. It got cut almost in half, unfortunately. But we, at the Pacific Center, we have no interest in giving up on the youth and giving up on the youth program. So we're holding a fundraiser right now in attempts to raise $50,000. And so far, we've raised about $17,000 of that. And so the fundraiser is going to last until January 1st, till the end of the year. And we are just encouraging people to donate. If you would like to donate, you can go to pacificcenter.org/donate. Check out our website. There's some information about our fundraiser, and you can always donate. We would love it.
Do you have any sense of how, you know, is this sort of a typical thing or just a weird coincidence that that the funding is having a little problem this particular year?
So this is kind of a weird year. We get funding from two major sources, the City of Berkeley and the San Francisco Foundation. And so every 3 years with the San Francisco Foundation, you have to take a rest year and reapply for grant money. And so we're in this rest year currently. And then the City of Berkeley, the way that our program is grouped is that it's an after-school program. And so when we get included with the after-school program, it's kind of misquantifies us because we're more aimed to be sort of a therapy program. And so in that regard, when we reviewed with the City of Berkeley some of our grant money, they were looking for slightly different things than what we were offering them. So in the process of renegotiating what we could provide and the kind of information we could provide to the city and how we could be helping young people be more successful at school, through that process, they decided to change our funding until we can figure out if we can hit those points.
Uh-huh, okay, so it's very specific counseling points, is that right?
Well, it's specific points about school attendance and grades and stuff like that. And so that can be difficult for us to track because our goal is more so focused on life skills, on mental health, and encouraging finding self-identity and all those things. So it can sometimes be hard for us to track school progress. And so through working with the City of Berkeley, we're working on how to meet those two needs and those two goals.
You must serve students or young people, and adults for that matter as well, the Pacific Center, from much wider geographic range than just Berkeley.
Absolutely. We serve young people and adults from all over the Bay. So we've got 16 peer support groups, and we've got over 20 clinical interns that provide one-on-one and family therapy. And so in the youth group alone, we have people coming from all the way out in Hayward, coming from Berkeley, coming from Oakland, coming from Piedmont, coming from all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so will some other cities step up and, kick in a little money? That's not just shouldn't be all in Berkeley, right?
Well, I wish. I'm not exactly sure if it works that way. I don't
come
work
on, hey,
the
we're,
city
let's
of Berkeley. But if I did,
okay,
things would be very
fair enough. So I want to ask a little bit more about the Speakers Bureau. Davi and Jesse, when you've been out, you go to various events, community groups, schools to speak about various topics, and I'm curious to know what, first of all, what kind of questions do you get, or what kind of reactions do you get when you, first of all, what do you speak about? What's a typical presentation go like, roughly?
Okay,
or
well,
is there such thing?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll talk about the new one. Okay, so
no, talk about what you guys
okay,
used
well,
to
so,
do.
Yeah. the Speakers Bureau, we've changed it over the years, and I was, me and my friend Joey, who was going to be here, were, like, the main contributors to the reason why it was changed. At first, our first Speakers Bureau, we used to go, and when I first started, like, 4 years ago, it would go, like, coming out story, or we'd do the LGBT, like, I don't even know what it's called, like, we put out, like, LGBTQ. Like,
you put the words up. You put the letters up, and the acronym.
The acronym. I cannot believe I forgot that.
Okay.
The LGBT acronym. And what we do is we'd, like, spell it out, and we'd click on students to answer it.
Okay.
And we'd do, like, multiple T's, like, multiple Q's, and, like, have people answer it. We'd figure that out.
Okay.
And then we'd move on to coming out stories. So whoever was on the panel, it would usually be me, two other, three other students, and then, like, our leader. And then we talk about that, and then we go on to moving on to questions after coming out stories. So we give a variety of coming out stories because each, as you know, each student or each person's coming out story is going to be different. How it happened, where it happened, how they had to do it. So it's not just like everyone's story is the same. It's like everyone gets, people in the class get like, wow, this person had to like go through like so much stuff to tell their parents. And where I can just be like, I sat down at the dinner table with my mom and was like, I'm gay. And that's fine. Yeah, that's cool. Where others, like, you know, it's just, it's a harder time, or they can't say it because of, like, religion or, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
But then it came to being, we're mainly focusing on LGBT stuff when there's a lot more problems going along in our community that aren't being talked about or brought up by students, to other students. So then my friend Joey and I changed it, because I also used to intern for my senior year at Oakland Unified while partnering in an internship at the Pacific Center, where I was working with the non-violence and anti-bullying department of the school district. And what we did is we talked about like anti-bullying and how do we help youth specifically, mainly aiming at LGBT youth, how do we help them, but creating a message from like other youth. And I thought of, oh, Pacific Center, we can do that. We have a Speakers Bureau. So what we changed it to is to focus on how can we teach our like students at middle schools and high schools about our coming out stories and our history and doing the acronym, but also including like how do we stop bullying and suicide. And mm-hmm. So we're pretty much pulling so many more like topics so that we really understand how deep it really goes on, like, where can acceptance truly start and how can we make the lives of LGBT youth better with not just having a support group, but having a board of youth who go out and talk to other students who can connect with students who might not be out to their parents, be out to their friends, but understand that there's a place, there's people who are here to support them, and that we're just here to pretty much, like, try to make, you know, slowly by bit, but being able to, like, open up the eyes of people who might not understand.
You mentioned suicide in your, what you just said. I mean, is that, how big of a problem is that now? Do you have a sense in the Bay Area?
I think it's still a pretty big issue, actually.
Percentage.
Yeah, I definitely think it's still an issue. I don't exactly know what the percentage might be compared to recently, but we definitely still have young people coming into the center who are in crisis and who are worried about their place in the world and who are self-harming. And mm-hmm. all those things still happen. I wish that I could say we were at a place, especially in the Bay Area, where we're past that and that's no longer an issue. But I think that growing up is hard enough as it is. And mm-hmm. when you add into that mix falling anywhere outside of the norm, you find yourself with kids who are at risk for hurting themselves or hurting others. And so our goal is to just try to provide a support for those people, to try to provide a listening ear and a supportive shoulder and help them work through the difficulty that is growing up, especially mm-hmm. growing up queer.
Yeah, okay. I'm just, you know, I still need a little bit Are there particular like parts of the Bay Area that are worse or better than others? Because like I said, I'm going back to like I went to Berkeley High School. But this is back in 1975, and I'm like, I didn't know any other. I mean, I knew there was sort of like, oh, there's some gay guys over there, but you know, I never even thought of my. I was like not in my consciousness, and today it is. So you think, well, it's in the consciousness, it's visible, but so So why is there still the discrimination that mm-hmm. you sometimes get?
Well, I think in Berkeley we live in a little bit of a bubble because Berkeley is pretty progressive. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely other places, like Davi was saying, the discrimination he faced in Piedmont. I think Oakland is a huge city, and whatever's happening in West Oakland, it's very different from what's going on in East Oakland and North Oakland. And then when you take into account how big the whole Bay is and all the different cities and cultures that make up the Bay and the melting pot that is the Bay, it's hard to say that this area is better than the other, but it is recognizable that there are certain more affluent areas that have better access to more resources.
Mm-hmm. And yet Piedmont's affluent and you had problems there. Okay. I think that kind of wraps it up. Any closing comments you want to make?
I think just to kind of sum up what Jesse was saying about the Speakers Bureau is that he and another young person, Joey, really did mold the Speakers Bureau into something new and kind of talking about bullying and about making schools a safe space. And so that was a really amazing process to have two young people that were from the youth group create something that really speaks to what we've kind of been talking about today, about how young people sometimes still aren't feeling safe in their own schools. And so I think that the focus is not just about finding out who you are and an internal process. The focus is also about the external process of how can allies really help to stop bullying? How can you as an individual stand up to bullying or situations or people that make you feel unsafe?
Okay, thank you very much. I want to thank you, all three of you, for being here.
My guests have been Jared
Field, Youth Programs Manager of the Pacific Center for Human Growth in Berkeley, and from the Pacific Center's Youth Programs Speakers Bureau, Jesse Thompson and Davi Muehlenhaus. Thank you all for coming in this evening and sharing your stories. For more info about the Pacific Center or to help the center's youth program, go to pacificcenter.org. We'll have a link on our website, outinthebay.org. And, dear listeners, after 11 years of bringing queer voices to the airwaves, bringing you conversations about LGBT and intersex life in the Bay Area and beyond that you're unlikely to hear anywhere else, Out in the Bay will be taking an extended break, a leave of absence, a sabbatical, if you will. Marilyn Pittman and I have had wonderful experiences bringing you out in the Bay. We've talked to countless fascinating, interesting, entertaining people. It's been a labor of love, and we've loved it, but we do have to give it a rest for a while. You can still hear us, though. The last two Thursdays of this year, we'll be airing two of our favorites from 11 years on the air. Tune in to hear my feature on Liberace, 7 p.m. Thursday, December 24th. And on New Year's Eve, Thursday, December 31st, our 10th anniversary highlight show, recorded in front of a live audience earlier this year at Oasis Nightclub. Or hear them and 10 more of our favorites anytime you want on the plain favorites page of our website, outinthebay.org. We also have about 3 years' worth of our most recent shows on our blog page. It's all there for you at outinthebay.org, where you can always chip in or find other ways to support this project of broadcasting LGBT stories and voices to the world. Thanks for your past support and encouragement, and as always, thanks for listening. Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KALW for helping this show grow over the past 11 years and for studio use and tonight's engineer, Debbie Kennedy. On our website, outinthebay.org, you can get free podcasts and download Stitcher to hear our show and other radio programs on your cell phone and other devices, outinthebay.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Eric Jansen. We are out of time. Thank you.